Hello and welcome to the Work Like a Laker podcast. I'm Megan Rickson, and today I'm joined by Grace Pushman. And on today's episode, we are tackling a fun topic, how to negotiate a job offer. So, Grace, have you ever negotiated a job offer before?
Mostly no. So as a teacher, that's not really as much of a thing because sure. There's like steps and stuff, yep. And it's very laid out already how much you'll probably make. But I have once, and I will say it was not successful. I did not increase.
Failed attempt.
Yeah, darn I did it. Not increase my salary at all. But I think, you know, I believe it's because really they were giving me the best offer they could.
Sure.
And sometimes that happens.
So
and
it felt
so
fair. It,
yeah,
regardless.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. So I'm glad I tried because it was a hard thing. But how about you, Megan? Have you ever done that?
I haven't either. Mm-hmm. I haven't been successful or unsuccessful. I've never tried, which is actually something that, I mean, it's not like a regret or anything, but I kind of wish I had the experience of giving it a shot and doing some research and bringing that to the table. But yeah, same thing. I've worked at nonprofits, you know, worked in higher education. So it's a little trickier.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yep. Good deal. So, you know, negotiation can often feel uncomfortable or maybe like this huge task you have in front of you. So our goal today is to help to clear up some of the mystery around this process so that all of you listening will just, you know, have a lot more confidence when you go into any sort of a negotiation process. And we'll talk through what some of that might look like. It's important to understand the job offer and then potentially negotiate for salary, but also for benefits and lots of other things that align with the market and what you're bringing to the table. So, Grace, to kick us off, I think you have a few stats for us.
I do. So, according to some of our resources, 46% of men will negotiate, while 34% of women.
It's a big gap.
It's a big gap. And again, Megan and I are kind of examples, but you do have to keep in mind where our people working and if it makes sense to negotiate.
Sure.
So, but those are just some stats for you to start out. And also a survey of 2,800 people or 2,800 hiring managers, 70% of them expect candidates will want to negotiate. So there's more of them expecting that we will and we're not. So that's just something to keep in mind is that they expect you to. So
it's like double the number of women.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. More than double.
Yeah.
90% of employers will not retract an offer because of negotiations. And honestly, that 10% did still surprise me a little bit that there was 10% who would retract an offer. But keep in mind that according to our source, which is salary.com, that when they do retract an offer, it's often because of the approach the candidate took to negotiate.
Not so, the negotiation itself.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I think you can always try it, but you just want to be very respectful. And we'll talk about later, like how you can negotiate in a way that will seem respectful to the employer.
Right.
And then our final stat is that 38% of graduates will negotiate overall. So gender aside, 38%
overall. Good.
Megan, do you have any suggestions for students who want to negotiate? Like, how would you even start that conversation?
Yeah. So here's an example of what it might look like. After you've received either a verbal offer or an offer letter, both can happen and both can be legitimate. You'll want to let them know, you know, right off the bat that you, of course, appreciate the opportunity, but that you really would like some time to review and consider it. And a part, you know, kind of what Grace was just mentioning before, you're having a real conversation with someone. So you don't just have to be a robot saying, thank you for the offer. I need some time. You can be like, that's really great. I'm excited to review this. Would it be okay if I take 3 days to do that? And then, you know, have a conversation around that. If they're like, ooh, that's too long, say, well, could I have two? Or, you know, start at a week, you know, even that, like the time piece is a little teeny tiny negotiation right there. I would say typically no longer than a week though.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you?
I would say
you don't want to expect too much. And, you know, just something to be aware of in that process is that you likely won't have engaged in a salary discussion before you actually receive this offer because we don't want you to be the one to bring it up.
Exactly.
Yeah. But if, for example, you are working with a recruiter at a company and they are asking some of that, I think it is okay to answer, and we'll go through some strategies for how you might say that.
Yeah, so you definitely should do some research to get the number that you want to say to someone if they ask you about that. honestly, whenever you can, you want to have them give a number first. So like, if anything, if they say, what do you expect? You might say, well, what's the typical range that you would offer? And have them throw out a number first. Yep. But sometimes they kind of corner you and it feels like you have to give a number first. Mm-hmm. I've heard a lot of students and alumni say that. And if that's the case, you just really want to do your research beforehand if you can. Yes. Or if they throw out a number first and you want to negotiate up, you still need to do that research to have a reason to negotiate. So right,
exactly. And yeah, something I didn't mention is, you know, you think about salary as kind of that first piece of an offer. But when you're in that like 1 to 3 days or week long review, you definitely want to look at that entire compensation package. So this will be things like, do you get vacation time, paid time off? What does health insurance look like? Are there any, you know, continuing education elements that, where they might pay for you to go back to school if that's something you wanted to do? Bonuses, raises, those are all things that might be written out in a job offer. And if they aren't, it's okay to ask for them, right?
Yes. And I would say too, like asking anything about the compensation package is totally fine. Like I think sometimes you feel like you're being maybe a burden to ask like, what's the retirement like? Don't. Like you should ask those questions beforehand.
Totally. Because you might find that they have just really awesome benefits that more than make up for maybe a smaller salary and a different offer when you put together that total compensation. So yeah, great. Definitely doing a little bit of research is going to go a long way in this process.
Yeah. And some places you might do that research would be like Payscale, Glassdoor. You might do some informational interviews with people who have similar roles, come to the Career Center. There's a lot of things you can do to look into it.
Multiple sources is kind of the name of the game there, right? One website might say one thing, another might say another. So maybe it's somewhere in between.
Exactly.
Talking to a real person always goes a long way.
And I think this research is what's going to help you, as we talked about earlier with rescinding an offer, an employer rescinding an offer. I think you doing your research is going to help prevent that, because if they see that you have like a legitimate reason for trying to negotiate, that's going to feel like you're respecting their time and their offer more.
Once you have done some homework on salary ranges and you want to counteroffer, you can start by contacting HR or the recruiter, basically the person you likely have been working with from the beginning stages of the interview process. You want to thank them again for the offer and then follow with, is there room to negotiate or can we discuss salary? And then if they say yes, make sure you have that number in mind.
Last thing you want to consider too is if you are going to try to negotiate, you want to think about, do you meet and exceed their requirements? Because if you're like just meeting that bare minimum requirement of what they're asking for and you have nothing additional that you're bringing to the table, you might not have a lot of wiggle room to request more. So, you know, be thinking about your skill sets, experiences, knowledge base, and if it warrants that higher pay. Because again, that I think is an important factor in how well that negotiation is going to go.
Absolutely. Yeah. Just being kind of honest with yourself as you're thinking through that. What am I matching? Do I deserve more for this position or is this pretty fair? Yeah. Good deal. So, you know, a key thing to remember if you're working with a recruiter is that they are the liaison to the hiring manager, the person that will likely be your boss or supervisor. So use that person in a good way, right? Like they want to see you get hired. It is their job to recruit people and find people for these roles. So you can have a little bit more of those candid conversations with those recruiters than you might if you were in like say a second round interview with your potential, you know, future supervisor. So to talk more about this topic and give us their perspective is a very special guest, Grace's husband, Victor Joaquin. Right. So we are joined by Victor. Hi, Victor.
Hello.
Can you just start with a brief introduction of yourself?
Yeah, absolutely. So my name is Victor Joaquin and I am the talent program manager for The Right Place. I started there about 6 weeks ago. I have an experience, about 5-6 years experience in recruiting, and I'm currently helping companies consult with their talent needs, fill the gaps, but also educate us to how to diversify their talent as well.
Nice. This is brand new.
Brand new for me.
Yeah.
Was an opportunity I wasn't looking for. It kind of came to me. I wasn't Amazing. Very familiar with economic development whatsoever. And the more I learned about it, you know, the more interested I got in just knowing the impact I could make in this position.
Sounds amazing. And yeah.
When you say that it came to you, what do you mean by that? Like, how did you get this opportunity? How
it was
did
like
that
the
all
stork delivering the job offer at your door.
Right. It did not require magical beans, but it did require a LinkedIn account.
Okay.
LinkedIn was huge.
Ooh, magical.
That is the magical beans of LinkedIn. I created a LinkedIn account, and it wasn't probably 2-3 weeks until I started having a lot of recruiters reach out to me for different companies. I had a recruiting job at the time, and so I was very familiar with the tactics, and I understand that they do have to go out and reach out. I was very impressed, however, as to how fast they were to reach out to me after just recently opening up or creating my LinkedIn page account, which was very cool. And so after a few offers, or at least a few offers for interviews, it was the right place that I finally said yes to.
Was awesome. The right place, apparently.
Yeah, boy, that really just works out, doesn't it?
Pun
was
intended.
The right place. Yeah, yes. Pun intended. Absolutely.
And when they reached out to you, you know, so it wasn't the right place that reached out. It was a recruiter, right, who was hired
Correct.
By the right place.
Okay. Yes, they have a recruiting agency, kind of, that does their headhunting, so
okay.
to speak.
Yeah. Was your first interview with them?
Yes. Okay. Over the phone.
Yep.
Wasn't in person. It was over the phone. Yep. And after that, that's when she started arranging an in-person interview with the senior vice president of talent and diversity, who's my direct supervisor. After that, it was met with an additional round of interviews with Hello West Michigan, who is a partner of the right place. And then it was the final interview with the COO and CEO. So it was a lot of stages of interviewing, but I felt that with each round, I started wanting more of, you know, the position more and more.
Yeah, that's what you want.
Exactly.
stronger about it.
Absolutely. It was a great experience. I definitely learned a lot while interviewing. It was certainly something that I never really looked at in interviews as an interviewee, as a person going in for an interview, how much fun it could be or how conversations could be had during an interview. So it was very cool. It was a very organic experience. And that's why I was a very easy yes, but I made sure not to show them.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay. That's a great segue.
Yes. Our topic at hand. Yeah. So when you were talking to the recruiter, how did the conversations go about, like, did she ask you what you were looking for, what your needs were? How did that start? How did that conversation go?
Right. Yes. So they definitely afterward wanted to ask that. It is usually at the end of the interview, they'll ask you, you know, what it is that you're looking for, especially compensation.
Yeah.
And I always advocate that it is important to do your research, know your market, and know your worth.
Mm-hmm.
And I did not have all of that during that first interview.
Yeah.
And so, because again, the right place, economic development was not something that was familiar to me. It was foreign. They reached out to me. So I was kind of like blindsided by this opportunity. However, after hearing more and being educated during that first initial interview, and really liking what I heard, I did my research. And so when it came to the later rounds of the interview process, I made sure to, you know, arm myself, so to speak, with all the facts, especially when it comes to compensation.
Yep. Yep.
How did you do that research? So you said you weren't really sure what to expect because this opportunity just kind of presented itself to you as far as compensation. So they asked you what you're looking for. You weren't really sure. So maybe just gave a number. And then later on, you did some research. And what did that look like?
Yeah. So initially, when it came to compensation, you know, I was basing it off of what I was currently making at, you know, the job that I had at the time. And I think that was mistake number one for me because I was definitely lowballing myself.
Yeah.
I then did the research and realized I could be making a lot more. And so that, you know, that number that I initially gave was probably, I would say, 25-40% lower than what the final offer was.
Wow. It's a lot.
It's quite a bit.
Yeah.
It's quite a bit. It's a lot of extra lunches and nights at the movie theaters.
Yeah.
But thankfully, I did do the research. And I think the best way to do research is, first of all, you know, see what other jobs, if there are ways available to you where you can see salaries of people of the same profession in your area. I know salary.com, I think, is the website, or just Google what the career is and then the area, like Grand Rapids, Michigan. And typically you'll find good links that will provide you that info to give you somewhat of a range. And what also helps is to see if you can, you know, utilize your created network. Do you know someone that is in that organization that can really, really give you a huge advantage in terms of, you know, what they're looking for, but also what they're able to pay and what they're usually willing to pay? Because recruiters out there, they may not want to admit this and they won't admit this. There are times, unfortunately, where recruiters, there is incentive to try and lowball people. Thankfully, my type of recruiting was not that. It was very entry level, so negotiation wasn't really part of that. But when it comes to the young professionals and they're, you know, wanting to get into the workforce, I mean, those jobs, their ranges, salary ranges can vary greatly.
Yeah. So be equipped, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think your recruiter, so being your wife, I have the inside scoop on this, but I think your recruiter, she really had your back in a lot of ways. But still, she's not always going to be like encouraging someone to negotiate.
Right.
Like that's not her job, right?
Her
job is to really do what's best for both parties, including the employer. Mm-hmm. So even though I think she had your back in a lot of ways, like it was still totally on you to advocate for yourself, right?
Absolutely. And that's certainly something that I try to stress to everyone is self-advocacy. You are there for a job, and you have to make sure that the job you accept, if you were to accept it, is the job for you. There are, at this moment, so many companies looking for so many people, and they can't find them.
That's
you
right.
know, the power has greatly shifted to the interviewee versus the interviewer.
Mm-hmm.
And so self-advocacy has never been more important today than it has ever, I don't think.
Right. And was when you were kind of going, not that you went back on what you said, but when you came equipped with that new information, when you had done your research, was that just a conversation? Was that over the phone? What did that look like?
Yeah, so that was a conversation over the phone. And I remember they asked me, hey, so you said, you know, in our first interview that this was the amount that you wanted.
Yep.
And I go, well, actually, you know, having learned a lot, you've taught me so much, Thank you for all this information. But I've after doing a little bit of research and talking with some professionals in this line of work, I think this would be a more fitting range.
Yep.
I was fortunate enough that they came higher than my offer, so there wasn't really much negotiation on my part. It was more of just making sure that the compensation package, you know, afforded me the things that mean the most. So if, you know, if they didn't offer a 401k, if they didn't offer any type of health insurance or their health insurance was too expensive, you know, maybe a salary, a lower salary would be better if it came with a much better compensation. So looking at the entire benefit package that came along with the salary is also very important.
Yeah, that's huge.
Yeah.
Those things add up quickly.
Yes.
And I think especially for like recent, like new alumni who are entering the workforce, don't always think about those things. So I think,
right.
You know,
think of that just one number, the salary.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. Good. All right. Well, that is super helpful. Thank you so much for sharing your story.
You're very welcome. Thank you for having me.
So while it's wonderful to hear about someone who was able to negotiate for a higher job offer, let's hear from a recent alum about a different experience. All right. Joining us now is Maddie Sutton. Hi,
Hello.
Maddie.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good.
Thanks so much for coming in. We're excited to talk to you on this job offer episode because we know you've had a bit of an experience with how that went. And we just thought it. You know, we kind of have a preview. We know the outcome a little bit, but we're excited to talk to you more about that. But why don't you just begin by telling us about the position that you applied for and ultimately got and kind of how that process worked?
Yeah. So basically in November, I got reached out to by a recruiter on Handshake, how they send the emails.
Yeah.
So I got that. And it was for Deloitte Consulting.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
And it was a application and program analyst position.
Okay.
Honestly, at that point, it was November. I had been applying to full-time jobs since August.
Wow.
Basically three to five per week that I would just try to do as much as I could. Good
for you.
And I think too, like getting interview experience for me was huge prior to, because the interview process was lengthy, but yeah, so just kind of like getting a lot of experience. And then obviously I applied and then I eventually got it. And yeah, so then basically what happened is the recruiter told me, you know, we'll send the offer letter shortly, and that's what had the details of your salary, your benefits, start time, that kind of stuff. But yeah, so really new to the whole process, obviously. Yeah. And it's something that we don't really talk about as college kids.
Mm-hmm.
So
it's kind of that thing that you're always dreaming will happen, and then when it actually does, you're like, now what do I do?
Exactly. And yes. And for me too, like I usually go to my parents for a lot of that kind of stuff, and you know, they're both in education.
Sure. They're like, what is this, like, magical offer?
Like, and they're like 30 years out of from like getting a new job. Like they've been in the same positions basically. So like yeah, it was just kind of a really like weird process, but
yeah.
You know, I work at the Career Center, so having that in my back pocket was obviously huge too.
Right.
Because I had advisors and other connections that were giving me, you know, the advice that I needed to hear too.
Great. So. Yeah. So talk us through that a little bit. Who were some of the people that you felt were the most valuable to speak with?
Yeah. So the first person I talked to was Stephanie, who is a career advisor at Green Valley. And she directed me then to Troy, who's our director of the Career Center. And I've heard great things about how he's great at negotiating. So I guess for me, I just didn't know what I deserved.
Sure.
In the position. I had a lot of questions of, you know, if I were to negotiate, how is this a fair salary? Is it a fair starting bonus or compensation? Because the position was in Denver, Colorado. So that whole relocation process, I didn't know if that was included or like what that process was like. So really just kind of, you know, asking Troy those questions and his experiences as well.
And so you did this in the short period of time, like after you got the offer letter, but before you officially accepted, or how did that timeline work when you talked to Troy?
Yeah. So basically what happens is when they send you the package, they'll give you, you know, 2 weeks. Mine was 4 weeks actually, which is usually pretty long.
That's very long.
Very long.
Yeah. But usually they try to make it as quick as possible because they don't want you to have more options, I guess. but yeah, so they gave me a month, and I used about 3 weeks of that time just because I really wanted to sit on the decision. It was something that when I got the call, I was more than likely going to take. But it was just something that I really wanted to sit on it and just kind of, you know, ask around and see what other people were saying. And I did have someone from Grand Valley who works at Deloitte, and he was in the Denver office. So kind of, you know, asking him the questions that I really want to hear, like, hey, how many hours are you actually working?
Yes.
Or, you know, he even talked salary with me, which was very helpful too, to kind of see like his position and where he stood in comparison to where I stood. So just those kind of things where you really have to use your network and kind of, you know, ask the hard questions that a lot of people don't really want to talk about. So
but it sounds like you really did all the right things. You talked to multiple people. You weren't just relying on, you know, your friends here at Grand Valley or something to tell you. You talked to, you know, reputable sources. I think that was awesome to try to find somebody, an alum at Deloitte in the very office where you would be working. And I think you bring up such a good point that, yeah, salary is a component of it, but you wanted to know, yeah, what's my actual working life going to be like? And even though that's not technically the offer, that's part of the decision, of course.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And those, and that whole process, like, it didn't feel like I was doing the right thing. It felt like
it,
my mind was going a million like miles a minute. I was like, oh, is this right? Am I like, you know, because you're just constantly questioning yourself when you're going through that process. So that's why I was so over the top about talking to as many people as I could and getting almost too many opinions on it. But
that's a good point. You want to like get some opinions, but you also have to trust your own gut and, you know, balance that out. So
did you use any other tools for research, websites, things like that to look up data?
Yeah. So Glassdoor was a really good resource for me. They have a lot of reviews too on specific positions, which I found really helpful, especially even in the interview process.
Oh, good.
And then, they also have a feature where you can see compensation. So kind of comparing that, which with COVID, it's been kind of hard to tell because a lot of different positions, they kind of waver with like the remote positions and stuff like that. So I found that that could be a little bit difficult and kind of like skew the results of the compensation. But
definitely any site you kind of have to evaluate who's given that information. What is their role? What are we in a pandemic? Those sort of things.
Also remembering that a lot of times that information doesn't take into account years of experience. I think in Glassdoor there's like something you can select how many years of experience you have, but if you're just looking at the number without doing that and your entry level, what you got offered might be quite different than what's on there potentially. But
And a big thing for me too is like, so the position focuses, I'm a business management and marketing degree. It focuses on SAP, which is not at all related to my major necessarily. For me, when I was going through the negotiation process with Troy, I was telling him, you know, like, yes, I have qualifications, but compared to other candidates who may have SAP certification already or different things that may make them more qualified, like, do I even have leverage in a negotiation? So kind of those hard questions that you kind of like really look at your qualifications and what you have to offer and say, you know, do I have that leverage?
Right. So that's good. That leads me to kind of my final question is, what was the outcome? Did you decide to negotiate? What happened?
Yeah. So basically with the package that I received, I did not negotiate, but I did ask questions. So basically what happened is I called up my recruiter and I said, you know, hey, like, I really like what you're offering. I think it's great. And I'm more than excited to join the firm regardless of what you're going to offer me next. So kind of laying that base layer of, you know, I want this position. And then I said, but is there any relocation fees or like maybe a stipend that I can receive for relocating from Michigan to Denver? Or is there any sort of, you know, room in that salary? And what she told me is basically, you know, I did choose to go to Denver. So like the relocation fee wasn't really necessary. And as for the salary, there was room, but I still felt like I was really comfortable at where I was at. So I did not go further. But if I were to, again, Troy really prepped me on how to handle those conversations. So but I think through that process it was very you know, important for me to go through, because I think that it took a lot of self-reflection to kind of see, okay, you know, what do I want to do here, and then kind of going through that process of talking to superiors and kind of showing, you know, my 20-year-old self, like, hey, I am capable of having a conversation with an adult, and going through those tough conversations. So,
So, even though you didn't end up actually negotiating, you did everything up until that point. And that's a skill set you're going to have with you the next job offer you receive.
Absolutely.
And probably at that point, you will have leverage to negotiate.
Right.
You made a really solid decision. You analyzed, you know, what the description was asking for, what you're bringing to the table, what the offer was. It sounds like it was a great offer. And you thought, you know, at this point, this is perfect for me. This is a good offer. But the next step, now you know what to do when you are going to have years of experience to leverage.
Right. Absolutely. And to a salary, like, a lot of people don't want to talk about it. So I think that, like, it makes it such a hard conversation to have. And like, for students, a big thing is, like, with TikTok, there's a lot of different, like, this is how you negotiate, this is how you, you know, kind of navigate that. So having those like outside assistance kind of helps too, as to how you want to handle the situation and kind of go from there. But
That's great.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, we really appreciate you sharing your story with us.
Absolutely.
And so happy for you that it all worked out so well. Yeah. And you were with us in the Career Center for how long?
It's actually kind of funny, but when I was interviewing for Deloitte, it was my first interview. And that's when I started the first day I started. Okay. So it's been like a whole year that I've worked here. But yeah, in September I started. So, and I've loved it. So definitely check out the Career Center.
We will not be editing that out. That stays.
Thanks, Maddie.
All right. Thanks for coming, Maddie.
Yeah, thank you so much. Thanks for having me, guys.
As you can see, you never know what to expect when you get a job offer. But a key takeaway is to always take a few days to think it over before saying yes. Do your research and decide on if and how you do want to negotiate.
Absolutely. I think that's totally right, Grace. So thanks again to our guests, Victor and Maddie, and we hope you all tune in to a future episode soon.